Colossians chapter 3 has been outlined by one Bible student, and I don't know that this is all from that student, but he kind of outlined this chapter this way. Paul shares with the church at Colossae the things that they are to sense, what they're to sense. And that's in the first few verses. And then he says the things that they are to seek. Set your affection on things above, verse 2. And then the things, he talks to them about the things they are to slay. The word mortify in verse 5 means put to death. So the things you're to slay. And then there are things, he said, that you are to shed, put off. You remember a few weeks back, we talked about the home and the dress code, God's dress code for the home, putting off and putting on. Well, he says there's some things we're to shed or put off. And then there's some things we are to show. We're to put on the new man. And then he says that there are some things, there is someone to whom we are to submit. And that's the Lord Jesus. In verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And also he is telling us whom we're to serve. And then he ends in verse 23 with telling us how we're to serve. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. So those are some thoughts in the chapter. But I'm going to only focus on the first four verses and the first phrase in verse number 5. So Colossians chapter 3, and we'll begin in verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. And then he goes on to delineate what those members are. I would like you to notice the word found three times in those few verses, the word with. Notice in verse number 1, risen with Christ. Verse number 3, hid with Christ. Verse number 4, appear with him, and the him is the pronoun referring to Christ. So risen with Christ, hid with Christ, and appear with Christ. There was a time when the author of this epistle, the Apostle Paul, not only lived in the world, but he lived for the world. He lived to the world. He did things in the estimation and opinion and value of the world, but that has changed now. He once was wholly captivated and absorbed in the pursuits of the world and the enjoyments of the world, but things are different now. And he suggests to this church, and by the way, a church is made up of people who professed to be in Christ. You notice again in verse number 3, the word in God. So we're hid with Christ in God. But if you were to do a study on the words in Christ, you'll find that repeated over and over again in Paul's writings. We're not only with Christ, we are in Christ. So Paul is writing to people he believes have come into a relationship, a believing relationship with Jesus Christ. And refers to the three tenses of our relationship. So if you're listening to me this morning and you are a believer in Christ, I want you to see your relationship with Christ in three tenses. There's the past tense. You are raised or risen with Christ. We'll talk about that in just a moment a little more fully. There's the present tense. Your life is hid with Christ. And then there is the future tense, you shall appear with Christ in glory. When Paul says in verse number 1, if ye then be risen, there's no doubt in his mind. He's not suggesting that it's just a possibility. As a matter of fact, if you go back now to verse number 12 of chapter 2, he writes these words to them in the earlier part of the letter, buried with him, that is, with Christ, in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him. Notice there's no if there. You are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. So the if is not a matter of whether or not, it's a matter of conclusion. So we could say it this way. So then, because you're risen with Christ, you are risen with Christ, and if that's true, and it is, then you ought to seek those things which are above. So there's no doubt here. But he's emphasizing in all three tenses our union in relationship with Jesus Christ. The origin of my relationship is when I was raised in Christ. The operation of my life, Christian life, is in Christ or with Christ. And the outcome is that I'm going to be with Christ. So it's all about Christ. So let's begin now as we think about our relationship going back to the past, because this is key. If you indeed have a relationship with Christ, the origin of that is by being raised with Christ. Look again. If ye then be risen with Christ. Obviously, before there is a resurrection, there must be a death. So there was a condition in which these people he's writing to found themselves to be in, and it was one of death. They were dead. And now they have been risen in Christ. I want to assure you this morning that if you are counting on anything other than a resurrection as a demonstration of, the proof of, the assurance of your relationship with Christ, you're looking in the wrong direction. If you're thinking that your church membership, if you're thinking that your good deeds, if you're thinking that the money that you give, if you're thinking about your baptism or any other things that you've done in answer to somebody's creed as the means by which you entered into a relationship with Christ, you are not correct biblically. There's only one way to come into a living relationship with Jesus Christ, and that is to be a partaker in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. There will never be anybody educated to eternal life. There will never be anybody who is accomplished enough in life to be added or to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, which we sang about a moment ago. You can't educate a dead person to life. You can't enroll somebody who's dead in a class and expect them to pass the class. You must be made alive. You know, when we speak about being dead physically, we speak in terms of giving up the ghost. Death is a separation. So there is a separation from my body. My soul, the ghost, the spirit that inhabits this body, leaves, goes elsewhere. That's physical death. When I am spiritually dead, that means that the spirit that gave me life, that connected me with God, is departed. It's gone. And the only way for that to come back, the only way for me to have a resurrection of that life, is for me to die, because it's my sin that brought about my separation from God. So I must die in order that God may raise me to life. Please think now with me. What has to happen in my life, and I hope you can find a time in your life when it happened, is you have to die to your righteousness. You have to die to yourself. You have to give up your sins. You have to give up your rebellion. You have to leave going your own way. There has to be a point in your life where you come to the end of yourself, you recognize your weakness, your hopelessness, your lost condition, and you cry out to God because there's nothing you can do to earn his favor. So you died. And at that moment when you die, the moment you give up, the moment you surrender, the moment you say, I'm dead, I'm hopeless, there's nothing I can do, and you confess that and cry out to God for mercy, then you can be brought to life again because Jesus paid your sin debt. You can't. You've got to stop. You've got to die to your efforts to try to win righteousness. When you die, He, through the operation of the Spirit of God, gives you life. So important that we understand that. Paul is speaking to them about their relationship, and he said it all began with a resurrection. You were given a participation in a life that you did not have before. You are made alive through your relationship with Christ. In chapter 2 and verse 13, he uses a term that he uses over in the book of Ephesians as well. It's the word quicken. And that means, literally, to make alive. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, made alive together, look again at those two words, with him. With who? With Christ, having forgiven you all trespasses. Look at, if you keep your place there and go back to the book of Romans for a moment, and chapter number 6, Romans chapter 6. So I am raised with Christ. Do you got that? So therefore, will I ever die? Romans chapter 6 says, verse number 9, we're talking about spiritually now, not physically. Knowing, Romans 6 verse 9, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. The truth about my relationship with Christ is, I will never die. You can talk to me until you're blue in the face about the fact that I can lose my salvation. You, sir, you, ma'am, are wrong. That's not scriptural. I am raised with Christ. And Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. In the book of Revelation chapter 1, John sees on the Lord's day, hears a voice and then turns to see the person speaking, and it's the Lord Jesus. And he said, behold, I was alive and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and death. He's alive forevermore. If you're in Christ, you're in Christ by resurrection through with Christ. You are a participant. When he died on the cross, you died with him. When he rose from the grave, you rose with him. He was your representative. And when you came to the end of yourself and you put your trust in him, you were reckoned to be in Christ on the cross. He died for you. And when he rose again, you were raised again, and you will live forever. You will die no more. Physically we'll die, but we'll never spiritually die because we've been made alive. You understand that? That's the beginning of our relationship with Christ. Christianity begins where everything else ends. Everything else in your life's experience will end with death. Your life will end in death. Your family will end with death. Everything will end in death, but that's exactly where Christianity begins. When you die, you are brought to life by the power of Almighty God, and you will never die again. So it begins there, my relationship, the past. I'm raised with Christ. But then Paul says to them, seeing that you are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Why? For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So we're going to have to think for just a moment, because he just said, you're risen with Christ. And now he says, you're dead. But he doesn't stop there. He said, you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So you came to the end of yourself, and you died. You gave up your living, your way, and you became a participant in Christ. And now, though you are living, your life that used to be is dead. That is over. That is under the blood. That is something that you gave up and you abandoned. And now you are a participant in Christ, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So I want you to think with me for a few moments about the present tense of my relationship with him. It seems to me that in life, the things that men tend to prize the most are things that are hidden. Gold. If it were out in the open, you probably wouldn't be here this morning. We'd find out how real your faith is. If you knew where it was just laying out in the field, you'd be out there collecting it. It's hidden. You have to go after it, right? We think about diamonds. They're hidden. We think about emeralds and pearls. They're hidden. The oil that men value and that we need so much is hidden. It has to be sought out. The things that are prized and valued in life are hidden. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Why do we hide something? We hide something because we want to keep it safe. We want to keep it away from danger or from someone taking it away. We hide it for security. And I want you to understand this morning that Paul is saying, look, you have a brand new life. Your relationship with Christ means you're a participant in a resurrection life. You'll never die. You'll live forever. And your life is hid with Christ in God. His life is in you here. But your life is in him there. See, he became my substitute. He became my representative. And now before the throne of God, God sees me in Christ. I am with him in God. So that's where my life is. My life originates with him now. It doesn't originate here in this world. That life is over. I gave that up. I set that aside. And now I'm a participant in a life that is from above. And my life that you used to see, that used to be here, is now in him there. And his life is in me here. In verse number 4, he says, when Christ, who is our life. Christ is my life. He's not just the beginning. He is the continuance of my life. It's not just about knowing him, becoming acquainted with him, and that's the end of it. It's about participating in him and him now living in me. My life is hid with Christ in God. You know, normally when we think about hiding something, we think of the term darkness, don't we? We hide things out of sight. We hide in the dark. So we always associated darkness with hiding. But the Bible said, my life is hid with Christ in God. Christ is the outshining. He's the brightness of the glory of God. My life is hid with Christ in the sense that he is so brilliant, he is so prominent, he is so glorious that no longer do you see me, no longer should others see you, but they should see him. It should be like that was in Antioch, where the disciples were called Christians first. They were called Christ-like. Why? Because they were seen in the glory of Christ. Their life was now hidden. People did not know, why do you act that way? How do you love that way? How do you do that? What motivates you? Have you lost your mind? This is not the way we live here in this world. But the problem is, it wasn't that they weren't living. They were living, but they were living the life of Christ. And their life is hid in the glory of God. We're supposed to be lights in this world. We're supposed to be the outshining of the presence of God. And a brilliant light obscures the sight of other things. The sun, of course, is a bright light. And if you're not careful, you can look at the sun in such a way or for such a length of time that when you look at other things, you won't see them. And there are things between you and the sun that you cannot see because the sun outshines them. You understand that? Now, at night, when the sun is obscured from your view, when the sun is on the other side of the earth, you could look up into the same heaven and you see a whole lot you didn't see before. You know why? Because during the day, those things are obscured. They're lost in the glory of the one. By the way, all of them are reflections of the sun itself. You get it? Your life is hid with Christ in God. And by the way, think about that. Roll that over in your mind for a moment. Savor that. Do you want your life to be an open book? Do you want your life, your deeds, your thoughts, the musings of your heart, the things that you've said, the things that you've done, do you want it to be open to everyone? Are there not things that we hide from others' view? Are there not things we're ashamed of and things we don't want to be exposed to the light? Well, in Christ, I am hid. My life is hid with Christ in God because He became my righteousness. I'm no longer trying to impress you with my righteousness. Why would I do that? For all of my righteousness is like filthy rags. So who gets the filthy rags out and flies them? Who puts the filthy napkins and table covers on when the guests come over? You don't do that. And if you have guests that are coming over, you get rid of the dirty stuff and put out the clean stuff. You don't understand what I'm saying? The wonderful truth is that all of my righteousness is as filthy rags, and all of the things that are wrong with me, they're hidden in the glory of Christ. I no longer have to demonstrate or prove anything. He is my righteousness. By the way, my life is hid with Christ in God. Christ is hid with God. I can't see Him. Can you? I don't see Him today. Do you? No, He ascended from here and went back to His Father, and He's in heaven at the right hand of the Father. So Christ is hidden in God. And by the way, when He was here in the world, His life was hid. They knew Him, but they didn't know Him as He was. What He was obscured from their vision. The only way a man or a woman will ever see Christ, now listen carefully, is if God reveals Him. Christ is hid. My life is hid with Christ in God. So that means Christ is hid with God. And no man by natural understanding, by natural wisdom, can discover God. When Jesus asked Peter, "Who do men say that I am?" And then after hearing their answers, He said, "Well, who do you say that I am?" Peter said, "You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God." And what did Jesus say? "Blessed art thou. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. Who revealed it? My Father who is in heaven." Christ is hid in God. And only as God is pleased to reveal Him will you know Him. If you're here in this room this morning and you're saved, it's because you put your trust in Christ. And it wasn't because of your brilliance and your wisdom. It's because God in His mercy gave you the capacity to see Christ, to comprehend His Son, to see His goodness, to see His glory. And you believed and you were saved. Your life is now hid with Christ in God. The sun is 93 million miles, they say, away from us. So the sun is not here. the Son is there. But the Son is here. I say the Son is not here. It's there, but it is here. Every flower that you look at, every plant, every tree that you look at, the Son is there. Its life comes from the Son. It's dependent on the Son for its life, for its growth. And so Paul is saying to the Colossians, listen, you're dead and you're raised together in Christ, so you are alive, but your life is the life of Christ. And though you are not here any longer, you are there in Christ, your life is hid with Him, His life is in you now. He is there, but He is also here in you. That's your relationship with Christ. We're to walk with Him. We're to talk with Him. We're to be in fellowship with Him. By the way, if my life is hid with Christ in God, you know what that means? I'm dependent on Him. If my life is hid with Christ in God, that means I must depend upon Him. He's the source of my life. He is the one I must go to. He's the one I must draw from. He's the one I must have fellowship and communion with so that I can grow. Jesus said it this way, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Except you abide in me, you cannot bring forth fruit. Yourself, you can't do anything. So we're dependent upon Him, but thank God it also means we're secure in Him. Nobody can take our life away from us. My life is hid with Christ in God. You can't take my life away from me. You can take my physical life away, but you can't take life away from me. For it's hid with Christ in God. Isn't that wonderful? His life is hid in me, and my life is hid in Him. What a wonderful truth. Somebody told a story one time about and I don't know if it's true or not. I couldn't find it on the internet to find a historical account, but the story was told about a French nobleman who had a very, very precious diamond. And he loved his king and wanted to honor his king, so he chose to send that diamond to his king. And he chose to send it by the hand of a faithful servant. That faithful servant, in the midst of his journey on the way to see the king, was murdered. As I understand the story, if I understood it correctly, he was murdered because of the diamond. Because they were seeking the diamond, but he didn't have it. They didn't find it. When his body was recovered, they did an autopsy, or they cut open his body and found in his body cavity the diamond. The faithful servant had protected the diamond by hiding it in himself. And therefore, it was no longer available to anyone on the outside. It's on the inside. Listen to what I'm saying to you. Christianity is about a life that is on the inside. It is a participation in Christ who no one can see except you and me, because we've been raised in Him. We've been made partakers in Him through resurrection by faith. And we are alive in Him. And they don't understand our life. And they can't see our life. And by the way, they can't take our life because it's hidden with Christ in God. And He in me. And finally, notice the future tense of my relationship. Christianity in three tenses. I'm risen with Christ. I am hid with Christ. And I shall appear with Christ. And once again, though we could go many places in sacred scripture, the doctrine of eternal security becomes very clear. When Christ, who is our life? Our life is hid in Him, with Him. And so He who is our life, when He shall appear, He's not seen now, He's hidden now from view, but when He comes, when He's visible again, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Because you're a partaker of His life, not because you're a member of a church, not because you go soul winning a certain number of hours a week, Not because you give so much money to the benevolent cause or to feed the poor or because you're kind to your family or because you're a responsible citizen. You are going to appear with him because you're part of him. He is your life. Your life is hid in him. You have become one. And so your relationship began with the resurrection. It continues with fellowship and communion, and it ends with glory. When he shall appear, you shall appear also. There will finally be a day when the truth will be known about you and me. The world may not understand us now. They didn't understand him. They did not receive him. He came into his own received him not. The world sent him away, sent away with him. But the Bible does say when he comes again, every eye shall see him, and their hearts will be pierced, and they'll wail, they'll cry, because they'll recognize the truth about who he is. And so wait for that day. Your life is in Christ, and you'll be vindicated. You will be made known. Paul that said in Romans chapter 8, we wait for the manifestation of the sons of God. We're groaning together, travailing in pain, waiting for the revealing that we belong to God. The world mocks us now and laughs at us now and questions us now. But when he shall appear, we shall appear also with him in glory. Public recognition and personal participation. Do you understand your relationship with Christ? Does it thrill your heart? We didn't plan it this way, but I noted as we were singing the last song before the message, he hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock and covers me there with his hand. Our life is hid with Christ and God. But that life is his life now, not ours. We're dead. We gave up the old life. We were dead in trespasses and sin, and we died to any hope of righteousness that would earn the favor of God, and rested in the finished work of Christ, upon which he, by his resurrection power, raised us to newness of life and made us partakers of his life, and he now is our life. And I ask you this question. Did your life this last week, since last Sunday to this moment, did your life evidence a participation in Christ? In what way? In what way did your life represent the life of Christ? In what way, in the things that, what things that you said, what things that you did, the places that you went, in what way did it manifest your participation in Christ? He is your life. Because you're dead. And that old life is hidden away in Christ. It'll never be seen again. Now it's just his life that will be seen. Now in you and forever, it's his life. When he'd appear, you'll be with him, sharing in his glory because you're a partaker in him. Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father,